Pesach.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromaro.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
What the prime time, bitch?
Good morning. Welcome to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
Streaming live on WMFO.org. This is Brutal Brunch. I'm your host, Matt, and this is also Matt.
Happy Halloween.
Fresh off the finest host of all Melrose.
Very lengthy Halloween party yesterday because it started with children and then it transferred into adults and it transferred into everyone falling asleep, which was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
nice.
I love it.
It's
I love Halloween. I know.
Best holiday of the
year. People didn't get dressed, but I'm happy you guys did. Very, very pleased with that. Don't really, really disrespectful, quite frankly, to show up to a Halloween party not in a costume. So if you did, that's good. It's more appropriate. You know, it's like, what
exactly.
Am I going to do? I'm going to show up to a child's birthday gift and give him a child's birthday and not give him a gift? No, it's rude.
Yeah.
It's rude.
You can't. Yeah. And you made it clear the costumes were encouraged. They weren't required, but.
No, they're required.
Yes.
I got questions from people like Capuccio, and he's like, oh, I don't have time to get a costume. Like, you don't wear a costume, I'm going to hit you with a hammer when you come into the house.
There you go. Perfect party. Perfect host.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you would like to weigh in on that, number here is 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. We have a metal history,
mm-hmm.
and we have a black metal song of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been doing, because we only have a few shows left in this calendar year and a few shows left in this current decade, we're taking a quick look back. Over the decade that was, so we hit 2000. No, what decade is this? We had 2010 and 2011 last week, or 2 weeks ago.
Last week was 2011 and 2012.
And so now, that brings us to 2012, 2013.
That's right.
And, yeah, so the song I'm going to play
first. Great time. I was in high school. I was a young man. I just got my driver's license.
Well, I texted you because I was like...
Yeah.
I realized 2012 was kind of like a musical black hole for me. I didn't listen to anything.
Why do you
it was
think
weird.
That? Going through some stuff?
Yeah, there's some reasons, but what it did do is 2012 was the introduction to a band that had our number one song of the year last year. They've come quite a long way, the band Gozu, mm-hmm. right out of Boston.
Mm-hmm.
They put out an album in 2012, The Fury of a Patient Man. And I'm going to play you Bald Bull, which is the first song I ever heard by this band.
Bald Bull. Shout out to Mike Tyson.
There you go. This is Gozu on Brutal Brunch, WMFO. Here's, Gozu, where at least it all started for me in this band. We'll be right back.
can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
was Deftones. That was Romantic Dreams off of Koino Yoken. Also came out, dropped in 2012, and that was it. That was it for 2012, unless you have any other things you'd like to say from that year, because I don't really remember much.
Chick Magnet Punk had a good run in 2012. We're talking about his new movie.
You know who he may have. That would have been close to the Pipe Bomb era,
yeah,
right?
That's the Pipe Bomb era, I would say. It's October. He would have already done it as he heads into the fall, and then it fizzled out and went nowhere.
What year did he fight Cena at Summers? Money in the Bank.
2013?
When he won and walked out. Was it 2013?
Sounds right.
Okay. Anyway, there you go. Just like that song, I listened to that album in 2013. It came out in 2012, but that's how behind I was that year. Anyway.
Very behind.
So there you go. We had Bald Bull. You had heard an instrumental version first, and then we played the real song for you. That was Go Azoo. And then Romantic Dreams. And Matt, are you ready?
Always.
Because it's time for...
Listen to the production.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
Hell yeah, dude. It's This Week in Metal History. Things I found that were interesting in my research, which means there'll be Creator and Halloween on this list. Let's start out with a sad one. I was kind of talking to you folks about this earlier. October 19th, 2012, Manowar released the album Lord of Steel, which is like... an album I really like. But as you know, like the last time I think Manowar was around on the show, we were talking, I'm an Ox 2. I got nothing. There it is. The guitarist had been arrested for possession of child pornography, something horrific. And that was in, I think, the summer of 2018. And I looked up to see if there's any, like, update. It's like coming out of the...
yeah, this is your external speaker.
It's coming out alive.
Hold on.
Y'all hear this?
Try this one.
No? Yes. Thank you, guys. It just gets worse. Like, there's no debate that he did not possess it, but it sounds like, from what his lawyer is saying, is like he's going to say...
that there's like...
I'm the product of abuse, and therefore I have this stuff, and I guess like some sort of... mental health style defense to ameliorate the charges, because I feel like you got him. Like, it's possession and he has it. Anyway, that sucks. But this song is still good. This is Heart of Steel, which is a classic jukebox trolling thing. If you ever have the Touch Tunes app and you want to really make people aggravated, play this.
We excel at that.
Battle of the Fates from Star Wars.
Or a Bath. So is there no guitars? Is that in this song? Is that how you got around that?
This guitar is because it kicks in.
Okay. That's Manowar.
That's Manowar. Speaking of guitars, October 20th? 92. We got Gorgoroth. How do you pronounce that?
Gorgoroth.
Norwegian black metal. Known as like biblical Satanists, in that they're not Satanists of like the Anton LaVey Satanists, where you're like just kind of like an annoying humanist libertarian. Not annoying. You're a humanist libertarian. Gorgoroth are like, no.
And they're trying to summon the devil.
He is a Satan. He is real, and we love him.
Satan is real, as our friends once said from Creator.
Black metal band based in Bergen, formed in 92. Drawn controversy due to some of their concerts are featured, and I like to read it down like this. Impaled sheep heads, mock crucifixions. The band is named after the dead plateau of darkness in the land of Mordor, from J.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings.
That's the thing, like, they're very, like, you're super satanic, you do all the stage show, and then you're named after Lord of the Rings.
Well, of course you're named after Lord of the Rings, because you're from Norway. February 1st, 2004, during a concert recording in Krakow, the band displayed sheep heads on stakes, a bloodbath of 80 liters, because you know they're European, of sheep's blood, satanic symbols, and four naked crucified models on stage. That got them in trouble.
Especially in Poland.
Yeah, so like what I was saying before, they've drawn a lot of controversy. In fact, like a lot of the roadies and stuff don't want to work with them because they're so, like, just too much. They're like, too much with this. I'm just trying to be in a band. October 20th, 1984.
It's good music, though.
German metal band
Gravedigger
releases the album Heavy Metal Breakdown. One of the bands that obviously I like that you don't. This was doing the other day. We watched, this is a Heavy Metal Breakdown off the album Heavy Metal Breakdown. But we were watching Witchboard, which is not a good horror movie from like 87, 86. Tawny Katane is like the lead actress. And I was trying to explain to Maggie, like, oh, Tawny Katane is the lady from all the Whitesnake videos who did like cartwheels on cool cars.
And she assaulted Chuck Finley.
Rightfully so. And then so we were watching a Whitesnake video, and then I'm like, oh, let's go down the path of like what gets you from like Whitesnake to death. Like, how do we do that? Like, how do we march down that road? Which I would like to do as like an adjunct professor at a school and be like, you see,
if anybody on campus is listening, well, here you go.
Look, listen here, Tufts University. When you look at metal, think of it as like the French think of sauces. There's a mother sauce, and then you elevate elements of the sauce, or you take elements of the sauce out and it becomes different sauces. So there's like a mother sauce, like Black Sabbath, right? And then you're like, well, what parts of this sauce do I like? And then you emphasize or you de-emphasize, and that's how you get to the different genres. October 23rd, 2007, Matt, guess who releases an album?
Halloween or Creator? Or
goddamn right, it's Halloween. Halloween releases the album Gambling with the Devil. I think this is funny because this was after one of the many Keeper of the Seven Keys sagas album they did, and the lead singer was quoted in a news story like, you know, not everything has to be a concept album. You know, sometimes you get tired, you just want to make a regular album, it's fine. But in order to like appease the hyper nerds, the beginning of the album has a, this track was like a 57 second track called Crack the Riddle, which is a riddle, and you have to solve it, and it's in like the liner notes of the CD thing.
So this is the riddle right now.
You will hear a riddle, which you will not be able to solve because you don't have the CD in front of you. Hey, get it?
I got it.
All right.
CD packaging just isn't the same anymore. I think the last one I heard, Perfect Circle, I know had like a thing when their first album came out. You could like translate the things.
Well, like Coheed and Cambria still releases things. Are you listening to this?
Oh, I'm listening. This is like an Insane Clown Posse skit.
This is the fifth Joker's card.
It's gambling with the devil.
Scary stuff, you guys. October 24th, 89. Blind Guardian, which is another band I think you don't like, released the
album.
I
can just tell from this opening guitar.
Follow
like, nope.
Blind. Which is, this is like their speed metal era, before they went into more, I don't know, power metal, European power metal.
How? I see. So does his pitch get higher when they go to power metal later?
No.
Okay.
No. If you want to hear high pitched music, though, I got you. Because Time is the fourth studio album by Danish heavy metal band. Released on October 25th, 94. That band is Merciful Fate, spelled incorrectly. This is a track, The Mad Arab, which is probably problematic.
Probably.
Because it's from H.P. Lovecraft's character, Abdul Al-Azed, the author of the Necronomicon. And you're like, oh, this doesn't sound like King Diamond.
Oh, there he is.
October 25th, 26th, 92. How can you not like this, honestly? October 26th, 92. Obviously, Creator's going to be on the list. Creator releases the album Renewal. This is Brain Sea. There's really nothing to say about Creator except they're objectively a perfect band. Because it was the early 90s, they were trying to get into some industrial stuff for like five minutes. And then the song's like, nope, we're just going to play these guitars really fast and yell at you in German accents.
They might have to be the first band we induct into a Hall of Fame as a band, as opposed to an album.
Creator. I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I've not heard an album from them where I'm like, not doesn't slap as hard, because every band slaps. Every album they put out slaps, even when they're like 80 years old. Like, they're still good. All right, because we're heading into a primary, and I'm going to have to be really quick on the mute button on this one, but
ooh, here we go.
October 26, 2004, GWAR releases the album War Party. The most political... I like the notes. The most political GWAR album since America Must Be Destroyed. Obviously talking about the Iraq War.
What year is this
still
come
ongoing?
Out?
2004. Okay. This is Bring Back the Bomb. David Brock said they were trying to make up... they basically were just trying to parrot the GOP talking points at the time, but in such a gross way. He's like, basically, GWAR pledges support to the powers who support the war and makes such a right-wing statement that the right wing would be ashamed to have us. This is Bring Back the Bomb, so obviously put the nuclear bomb. They invented a fake political party called the War Party, and now I have to stop this song because he's going to start swearing.
Shockingly, so they put out an album last year, and they had a song about killing the president. And all the people got angry, even though, of course, just like all the other situations, they always kill the president, regardless of who is off. They have killed every president, but only the Trump people got mad.
Look, Trump people, sack up. I don't want to say this, but sack up. All right, that's This Week in Metal History. Do you have a concert calendar?
No concert calendar.
Right into
the metal song, or black metal
right
song of the week.
Right into Black Metal Song of the Week. So, Black Metal Song of the Week last week was Rotting Christ, because it's funny, because they did a Control F for 2011 and just hit Rotting Christ. Guess what? 2013, Black Metal Song of the Week, Control F, Rotting Christ is impronounceable. So it's Greek, it's Kara Rav Vakata Utev. In English, it just says Do What Thou Wilt, which is Aleister Crowley. Do What Thou Wilt is the whole of the law, which is your Aleister Crowley Satanist right-hand path stuff. It's less angry at just Christianity, and it's more angry at just like any kind of religion.
All right.
But they spend a lot of time going into all sorts of fun stuff. So there's like voodoo stuff. There's just like any kind of like thing that like crossed the lead singer's mind of what he wanted to like research that day, basically, whatever he was Wikipediaing. Or I assume looking at in leather-bound books, which is all those guys do
with
every
candles.
Single day. Yeah, read books with candles. And we come up with songs like Black Metal Song of the Week, Grandis Spiritus Diavolos off Do What Thou Wilt, because I'm not Greek. Black Metal Song of the Week, Rotting Christ, again.
wait outside your bedroom. I hope they let me in.
Were you a special request today?
For Halloween, Halloween horror talk.
Okay.
Keep away from Pumpkinhead, unless you're tired of living. His enemies are mostly dead. He's mean and unforgiving. Laugh at him and you're undone, but in some dreadful fashion. Vengeance he considers fun, and plans it with a passion. Time will not erase or blot a plot that he has brewing. It's when you think that he's forgot, he'll conjure your undoing. Bolted doors and windows barred, guard dogs prowling in the yard. Won't protect you in your bed.
Nothing will.
From Pumpkinhead.
All right, thank you.
Now ready?
Yeah, now we're ready.
Before we get to that talk, you just heard The Wonder Years, that was Dismantling Summer, for The Greatest Generation, which is also the greatest album from 2013, and possibly that entire decade, in my opinion.
Wow.
It was also almost just about 1 year to the day they played Providence, so the same night that Def Heaven played.
What a
night. Not together.
What an evening.
But I chose to see The Wonder Years.
I mean, Providence. Very good choice.
Before that was Rob Zombie, sounding not very Rob Zombie-ish.
No.
That was Dead City Radio and the New Gods of Supertown off of Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor, which also came out in 2013.
I would say it looks like Rob Zombie.
I mean, if you watch the video.
Sherry was
there, obviously.
Yes. He's putting his wife over again.
Mm-hmm. And before that was Rotting Christ for our Black Metal Song of the Week. Grandis Spiritus
Deavolus.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, We'll be hitting up, was it 2015 or 2016?
2015.
Okay, all right, there we go.
I have to find a bridge to 2015.
So we're well into 2013, as we told you at the beginning. It's going to be a 2013 heavy show today. But now, I want to talk about horror movies. And Matt, why don't you explain your love for Pumpkinhead?
What have y'all been watching? I love Pumpkinhead. The Pumpkinhead movies are based on that poem, which is just a poem about a make-believe creature. And then, of course, you have the original movie with Lance Henriksen, not James Woods. I always confuse the two.
Oh, man, please don't do that.
Inappropriate. But basically a story of revenge. James Woods, Lance Henriksen's son, is killed by like jerk-off teens, right. Basically. And he goes to, it's like in the holler, you know, it's like West Virginia, alleged, you know, they don't actually say, but it's like that kind of thing. And he goes to a witch in the woods and is like, I need revenge for my son. And she's like, you can have revenge, but, you know, that's it. That's the end of it for you. And then he does the thing and Pumpkinhead shows up, who's like a very incredibly designed creature. It's the guy who did like Clash of the Titans, Henry Harryhausen. I can never get that guy's name right. Very great design creature. He just tracks people down and kills them. That's like the end of it. I was watching Pumpkinhead 2 Blood Wings. Mm-hmm. I have not seen in a very long while. And the implication is it's kind of like a prequel.
So I thought it was the son was Pumpkinhead, but that's not true.
So,
or at least in the second one.
In the first one, Pumpkinhead is certainly a demon.
Right.
He is just a demon. And in the second one, they imply, well, like he was this kid who had a lot of like, he was like Mask from the film Mask.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then he's killed by like evil 50s style greasers. And then he comes back to get revenge. But I think really what it is his mom was the witch. He died. And then it's not necessarily him so much as her summoning Pumpkinhead to do his revenge. But it's confusing at the end. Excellent movie because it's like I said before, perfectly designed monster. And in the second movie in particular, you're like, oh, I hope he kills all these people because they're the worst. So you don't have any of the like, not even like, you know, like slasher movies where like, oh, I don't really care about the teens, so I'm just here for Jason to like, you know, stab them to a fence. But in this movie, you're like, I hope Pumpkinhead rips this guy's arms off. And he does. It's just like, it honestly doesn't get any better.
Obviously not.
So we watched those two. I think last night we tried to watch about 35 horror movies and
at once.
Kind of skipped around a lot. We watched the new Texas Chainsaw, right?
Oh, we were watching Texas Chainsaw for a little bit.
We watched a little bit of Maximum Overdrive.
Yep. People who don't want to watch Maximum Overdrive
absolutely
need
psycho.
To reevaluate.
Real crazy thoughts. We watched a little bit of Crazy Dave's Mad Previews. Mm-hmm. Played the game Nightmare, of course, which is fantastic. But I haven't seen like any other like I haven't seen a modern horror movie.
Moving to the century now.
Yeah, moving to the century. I haven't seen a single one. I wanted to see The Lighthouse, which Ryan saw last night. He said it was really good.
Okay.
But like I still haven't seen like
Midsommar.
I haven't seen Midsommar. It's really embarrassing. I was watching Witch Board, obviously. just bad movies. I'm trying to like a big tent of horror movies.
So let's look back at 2012. According to the Google, it's telling me.
Give it to me.
How about, okay, VHS, so VHS, the first VHS.
Very good.
Incredible. VHS 2 came out in 2013. Just incredible movies. The Woman in Black.
VHS 1 has the one with the lady who's a vampire.
Succubus, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah.
And then they very...
Did you say succubus, not vampire?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I can argue
she sprouts wings and flies away. The vampires don't do that.
I mean, they...
But if you've seen Siren...
A vampire can do
Have you seen The Siren?
Because they make
a horribly misguided choice to basically make up an entire movie about that,
out of that
creature.
No.
It's not good. Don't watch it.
I love the first VHS. I actually also liked...
The second one's awesome.
Parts of VHS... Was it VHS Viral?
Virals are really so bad.
But it had that weird one, like
the one in Mexico with like the when the dead come back. There's the one with the time travel.
The one with the like demon baby, or is that VHS 2?
No, that's VHS 2. The Indonesian one.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Yes, Safe Haven, I believe, is the name of that short, and it just like
it just goes.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's so good. In the first VHS, the last short. the black and white horror movie one, yeah. Or a horror, Haunted House one with the exorcism. Those guys made Ready or Not, which came out this year.
Is that good?
Yes.
Okay. You guys like that?
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'll see a movie that was made not in the 80s someday.
Elsewhere in 2012.
Is Lance Henriksen in it or James Woods? Look, I know James Woods is like a bad guy, but you can't dispute that he's in a lot of great bad movies. Like, he's a great bad actor.
The only movie at the top of my head I know that he's in is Any Given Sunday.
Anytime you need like a greasy businessman looking guy though from that era.
I mean, he's the skeevy.
Go to James Woods.
Team doctor in that.
Yeah.
American Mary. Is,
never even heard of it.
Catherine Isabel is a she takes plastic surgery to an extreme. She will like
the Kardashians. Am I right?
It's does the operations. She does the operations, and it's gets quite bloody.
Oh, that's no
the Possession, Paranormal Activity 4, which is brutally awful.
Which one is that? Is that the one with the Xbox?
Yeah,
on
with
it?
The Xbox.
I'm trying to think. You're saying it's bad, and I'm
so
just
bad.
Trying to think, is it bad? What about
the marked
what
ones
about
are so
when
much
the kid
better.
Turns on the Xbox and all the green lights show up and then a ghost appears?
That's like a decent scene.
That's where they get more into the like.
That's when the
Toby,
knife falls down.
Bloody Mary.
That's like
crap.
The because the kid shows up and it's like, yeah, the coven. Because what's her name shows up at the end, I think, to like take the kids away.
You're probably
right. But the marked ones is good because, first of all, there's like the time loop where they show up in their first movie. But it's also awesome because they actually fight the witches at the end for a little bit. Like the gangbangers show up with their shotguns.
They
and
shoot
killing witches. Yeah, it's great.
All right, I'm going to watch that then. That sounds stupid.
It's so good.
I think the end.
The one after that is awful because that's when they basically complete
the
circle
dimension.
And like, yeah, whatever it is. And yeah, Toby shows up and it's just so bad.
But they're like, you will see the monster. It was like the preview. It was very like 50s. Like, we will show you the monster.
Mm-hmm. It was not good. Wreck 3, which is an interesting movie because I don't like it because it tries to have it both ways with the horror and the comedy. But what it is interesting is that at one point, so obviously you're familiar with the first two Wreck movies, right?
Yeah.
They were directed by a pair of guys. One of them, then they split off to make, so Wreck 3 was one of them and Wreck 4 was the other one, came back.
What was
did
the
it.
American?
So, Quarantine.
Quarantine, okay.
But interesting about Wreck 3 is that, so Wreck was one of the original movies from like the shaky camera view. Everything's done through the perspective of the camera. Or you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
But anyway, Wreck 3 starts that way at a wedding. And then everybody's always mad in these movies where it's like, why don't you just put down the camera and run or whatever? And a character in the movie freaks out and he grabs a camera that's filming the movie and smashes it. And then it turns into a regularly filmed movie. Which is like kind of the symbolic him killing off the genre of
shaky cam.
Yeah,
I've seen some. I was going through my dad's. He had a lot of VHS tapes. Me and my sister like playing soccer and stuff. And this is like a big. This is not a handheld camera. This is like a camera you put on your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And so like he's running down the field and you can't see anything. It's just like him yelling and like grass bouncing. It's like really like avant-garde. And then like he'll be talking to us and the camera just pointed at the ground. It's like, ooh, it's like a horror movie. Like basically if you made monster noises instead of like soccer noises.
That would be, yeah, you could sell it. You could.
We would have been 2004 millionaires.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like that's your ticket.
I'll do it. Is that Silent Hill?
Silent Hill Revelation, the sequel, which is a great movie.
Is
Everybody
it?
Thinks it sucks. I think it's good. It's better than the original.
Did you like the original? Did you like the games? Are you a Silent Hill guy?
I would be, but no, I never had PlayStation until recently.
Silent Hill 3 is excellent, and I think it's backwards compatible.
I remember what was the one that came out very shortly after the PlayStation 2 was released? It was super creepy. That's what I think the original movie is kind of based on.
It's based on the first
or it's based on the first
game.
One.
Well, it's, yeah, based on the first game, but so like the idea of Silent Hills is like it's like Unstuck in Time. Like,
right, yeah, there's like a
I'm the protagonist and the antagonist, it's all in my head type stuff.
Right. Okay, we're talking way far too much about this, but
yeah, go ahead.
In the game is it the mother goes looking for the daughter or like cuz
in
the
father in the first game.
Okay, yeah. So okay. Anyway, so Silent Hill Revelation and The Bay came out, which is incredible. That was directed by who was it? Barry was it Barry
Bay.
Levinson? Hold on. Stand by. Barry Levinson. Yeah, and so he set out to make a documentary of the Chesapeake Bay. But because it was like so dead from pollution, things like that. Oh. But he wound up making this movie instead because he thought it'd be more effective. The Bay is like a parasite movie
about how polluted the Chesapeake Bay is.
It's quite interesting.
Funny. That sounds like something I'd write in like ninth grade. You did pollution, and now there's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Take that.
And the runoff from like the chicken poop and all that stuff like that. And
that's disgusting.
It's pretty gross.
Oh, that's a modern one. I saw the new Evil Dead remake.
In 2013, yeah, the remake of Evil Dead.
That movie,
The Conjuring, which is
violent.
Awful. Yes.
The Conjuring is...
Evil Dead is quite violent.
The new Evil Dead is like outrageous, but like violent in a way that the Sam Raimi movies were violent, and you'd be like, ha-ha.
Yeah, you... Yeah.
But I'm like, oh my this God, it's too much.
When the girl who you think is going to be Ash gets killed,
yes,
because she wears the denim or whatever, yep. So you're like, oh, that's new Ash. I'm like, oh, now I get it. She's not Ash.
It's not Ash. But like the last... Deadite that gets it at the end of that. It's like...
The blood goddess or whatever?
Yeah, I'm like, when is this going to end? Yeah. It was like how I watched that. It was too much, folks.
It's a lot.
Dial it down.
And they upped the ante on the infamous tree scene, too.
Yeah.
So, and then Insidious Part 2, or Chapter 2 came out. Remake of Carrie. World War Z is awful. The Curse of Chucky, which I've not seen, but it did lead to the Cult of Chucky, which is incredible.
I love Cult of Chucky, and I heard people don't like Cult of Chucky, which is inappropriate because I think that movie is fantastic.
It is fantastic.
The Child's Play movies are bad, and Cult of Chucky was like really fun. Mm-hmm.
And The Purge,
sure.
Oculus, love Texas Chainsaw, 3D. I think that. Pretty much covered. Anyway, The Conjuring.
Keep going.
The Conjuring, which is one of the most overrated movies.
Conjuring is a juggernaut of money. And so is that the first one that made the Warrens show up and become like Christian superheroes for the rest of these? Like,
pretty much.
Till today, basically.
All cheerleaders die. That's a good movie.
They crank up movies like every year, right, from the Conjuring franchise?
There were two of them this year.
Is that all
James?
Crystal
Verona. And no, they split her off. I think he still produces them or whatever. Crystal Verona and Annabelle Comes Home.
Annabelle.
Homecoming. All right, we got to get out of here.
The Warrens are frauds. Look, the real Warrens.
Oh, I know. Well aware of that. So, 2013 had another Bring Me the Horizon album, which we're also not going to play. We'll just tease.
Hell yeah, Seth Rollins is here.
But we are going to end with a couple songs, which I feel like even though it's about a city in Florida called Ocala, it could be like us and Melrose coming back to this radio studio, all that stuff. So we're going to end with another album that came out in 2013, Common Courtesy, from A Day
Ocala
to Remember.
Ocala is like Melrose.
Going to play City of Ocala into Right Back at It Again, because you can't play one without the other. And that's how we're going to sign things off. Stay tuned, I believe, for all Bristol New Bite. You've been listening to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. And we will be back in 2 weeks. Enjoy your Halloweens.
Happy Halloween.
Enjoy Day to Remember.